Podly-dum.
All the cycles. All the cycles.
Podcast.
Podly-dum.
Spelled backwards.
Leap. Dumb.
Podcast.
Leap. Dumb.
Pod.
Spelled backwards.
Pod.
Leap. Dumb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special part one of Podly-dum, aka America's Next Top Model podcast, spelled backwards. My name is Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and that juxtaposed positioning is really what we want to energize today.
I'm JDB Crumpin. Goodbye, Lacey. Tal.
And I'm Lex Basile Price, and people want to know about me. I'm juicy.
I knew it.
Applies to all three of us, baby. We are here today to discuss Cycle 22, Episode 15, somehow.
Oh.
The finale part one, : The Girl Who Made a Splash.
Who?
When?
No idea. I don't know what this means.
So I've changed it to The Girl Who Expected This from Mikey.
And if you expect to enjoy this podcast, you can become part of the Lead'em Pod by clicking on that clixel, just like this week's Lead'em Pod listener, Jordan.
Possibly. How's it spelled?
Oh my gosh.
Normal.
That's why Jordan didn't have time to be in any of these cycles.
She was listening to Podly-dum.
They were saving up money. They were saving up money for this.
So be just like Jordan and become part of the Lead'em Pod because you got a dollar.
Oh. You might have won 100,000 of them, for all you know.
Why does the show not want us to see the quotes on this digital art?
Why? I found them. I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it was like an escape room for you to do so.
Regal. Gorgeousness. Magical. Generic.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like you could just put Regal on anything of Mame's and be like, we did it. The brand.
Or if you're Lacey, mature.
I just realized that in this particular house that these property brothers made, apparently you have to stand on the table to read the digital art because there's always someone standing on the table. Oh, yep. It's a glare. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was like bouncing off that pale, pale stone all the time.
And then have we got a less helpful Tyra tip before?
No, this is the worst tie tip.
But she only says Mame's name once.
Mm-hmm. I mean, still wrong. Mame
sure.
And your mama.
Uh-huh. But now it's less wrong because it was less time.
Sure. But she's like, remember how your mom was like this? And then
she was like this and this and that. She let it go. And for you to take it to the next level, I want to see that diplomat go out the door. That's what's going to take you to the next level. So let it go, and congratulations.
That's never been Mame. Mame's photos are all about she whips her hair.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me. Mame is such a competitor, and I don't think we got the full power of her competitive energy until these last two finale episodes, because she's like, oh, is that what Tyra wants? Every soundbite you get from me will be about how I've changed, how I show my emotions now, which I never did, which was never Mame's problem.
No.
Also, two things about that. First, conspiracy theory for Mame. I think the competitiveness comes out not only because the natural progression of now it's top four,
mm-hmm.
but also Devin and Hadassah are now gone.
Yes.
And Mame realizes that she's not got a buffer anymore. And she's like, uh-oh, any of us could win this now? Time to turn on the gas.
Everybody here is good at modeling?
And then also, why can Mame not stop interrupting that tie tip? Any production must
Mikey has,
hate
Mikey
her.
Has rubbed off.
She's like, yes. Good. Correct, Tyra. Like, while it's
It makes
happening.
It seem like she actually isn't seeing it. And they're like, hey, Mame, we didn't film it. Just react.
I still am not convinced that they were watching Tie Tips in the moment.
I love the idea of them just having to give wild lines so that any Tie Tip makes sense.
Yes.
I will do that, or I won't.
Oh.
Wow.
I agree.
Magical.
Okay, tie tie.
I love the one or two tie results screen.
Remember when we thought that might be a theme?
I'm sad we were wrong.
Yeah.
I'm
sad we were wrong.
Tweedledum. Why was this not a twin cycle?
Tweedle-fies and Tweedle-fuels.
Because then they would have had to bring back the swirls, and nobody wants that.
No, I mean, that's true.
So Mikey says that Tyra tried to pull one over on him. I would argue that she successfully pulled one over on him.
Almost the most successful Tyra's ever been.
Not since the days of falling to the floor in a dead fake faint.
I think we can confirm that Tyra does not like Mikey very much. Because she said, I'm going to destroy this man on camera.
And Mikey takes that energy to just kind of mess up the Tyra suite for no reason.
Or was he sleeping in there?
With Mame.
No.
Because the house is divided. Yeah. The first half of this, I was like, where the fuck is Niall? You don't see him.
No.
It is interesting to think about because we usually go to a smaller second location, apartment, hotel, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this time we still have four people in a house made for 14 people. So it's rattling probably around. So much easier to hide.
I also love that we're getting so much still. Oppo content. Oppo Coco.
Love it. Because it increases my next episode.
Yeah, because this now we're getting
Oppo Spoko Fofos. Oh, oh. Mm-hmm.
Because hearing the phone go, wow, this is intense, killed me.
I love that we've said enough Oppo puns that it's become pig Latin to us.
Yes, we know exactly what's being said.
It's our twin language, the three of us. Ah!
But Oppo Topo Lopo, uh-huh.
I love how much taller Mikey is than the rest of this family. It looks like it's taken from the perspective of a giant. It's bizarre.
Who took that side picture of fat, quote-unquote, Lacey?
Oh my god, the picture that we will suddenly see 18 times in the next episode plus 10 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Well, Lacey's never been at a bigger disadvantage without Hadassah and Devin around because she is now the least sympathetic for backstory reasons. Because Lacey's like, 35, pretty big, am I right?
That photo is also so funny to me because she is in full makeup to work out in the mirror at home.
But why was this picture even taken?
I'm always concerned about why some of these old family photos were taken. But then I do go home and look at my photo albums. I'm like, why did we take some of these?
Talking about strange pictures, I noticed a dojo-esque photo of Tyra and friend.
This mysterious friend.
Yeah, that's in all the pictures. This not Keith Carlos person.
Never got an explanation.
It's so odd that it's not Keith. Especially since Keith's in this season.
Yeah. Lacey says that she and Niall win America's Next Top Model Couple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, not a hard competition.
No, but her recap of Mikey's couple history in this competition is so perfect. Perfect for two reasons. A tie tie two list. One, the complete omission of Courtney. And two, the phrase, kind of Hadassah.
I think it was a kind omission of Courtney. Just honestly, like, we don't want to, I don't want them to show the clip, guys.
Let's not re-traumatize, okay? Let's heal together.
I love, though, that in Lacey's head, she's like, well, it's going to be a top two. And there's two options, Lacey versus Niall or Mikey versus Mame. And there's no way they could pick break any twitchies.
There's also the story of the kiss really keeps changing, huh?
So sick. I've never been so sick of a plot line.
Oh my god.
Because now the story is they made out because a camera person isn't there? What? Huh?
And Devin is still basically on the show thanks to the potential for Devin to tattle. Well,
we need a villain and he's not here.
Conspiracy theory.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
This is all preemptively dismissing what Devin told, because I think Devin told the truth.
100%, yes.
And Mame's like, well, you can't trust Devin. Devin lies. When is Devin I mean, yeah, six acting studios, fine. But...
Well, look.
He's an embellisher, not a liar.
He is an embellisher, but nobody is a bigger embellisher than Mame.
Yes.
That's the thing. Mame kind of lies all the time for the next two episodes. But she starts from a place of truth and then takes it three steps too far and acts like that is infallible.
She's kind of yes-ending herself always. You know what, Mame? You are right. And also...
Mame, do you know what Mame told Mame?
What is Mame's endgame, though? You are on TV. What's your plan?
It's that thing again of... I don't see why Justin has to find out, because you were on camera.
If only if Devin tells.
Mame's only goal is to win the title of America's Next Top Model.
100%,
she doesn't care about what happens post-show.
But he's the one, JW.
No, this is all fabrication to be like, construct the narrative, Mame. How do you win?
She is going to get herself in every angle. Mame is both the hero and the villain of the soap opera that this show has suddenly become.
She's kind of Olivia Pope. She is constantly fabricating things.
And like maybe slightly blackmailing people into
doing just a little
bit. Light.
It's a dirty business, Lex.
She's a fixer.
Aside, did y'all watch the Dear White People TV show?
No, a lot of it, yeah.
I went to school with him.
It was great. Cool. I highly recommend it. Partially for their scandal parody, which is perfect. And at one point features the line, I pledge allegiance to your cock. It's so good.
I totally forgot about their scandal night.
But also, y'all, can we quickly, because there's nothing in this episode. Scandal? When did we all drop off? Because I remember when I dropped off.
Oh, I remember too.
When she got... kidnapped by fake ISIS. That's right. Right. No.
Yeah. Once her newly discovered mom was chewing through her own wrists to get out of prison, I was like, you know what?
I'm done.
And here's the thing. I love a show that starts out prestige, acclaimed, so well written and well acted, and goes off the rails. I have told people in my writing career, I hope one day I work on a show and I stay just a little too long so that I'm there for the downfall, because then you can write whatever.
Anything.
I didn't notice that at the end of the credits, for the number four ever in the running is the last bit of writing. And I thought, for this episode, have we been missing number puns throughout the whole season? Spoiler alert, no, we have not. It always says forever in the running.
Ah, perfect.
So we arrive back at Panorama High School.
Usai lies and says he's happy that all four of them are still there.
A new fun fact about Panorama High School. They offer lots of sports, including both boy and girl wrestling.
Good.
Nice.
I wrestled in high school when there still wasn't a division in North Carolina, and there was this one girl who kicked my ass. She had a sharp top ponytail and destroyed me.
Hot.
Yusai says the sentence, this is actually your grand prize sponsor shoot.
Sponsor shoots.
And then Lacey goes, last time we were with Nylon, I totally beat Mame. I guess it's going to happen again.
I think it's also kind of amazing that the two Nylon models we see are Keith Carlos and Rita Ora.
Oh my God. So good.
Is there any way they knew? There isn't, right?
No.
It can't be.
But she's shown up so much this season.
I guess she just was really big
hot,
right now.
Yeah. I know we wished that we would get more photographers that were not Eric Asla. I didn't know this is what the monkey paw had in store for us.
I was still thrilled to see someone else, though.
Here, at this moment.
Yeah.
What a strange dynamic that we have between Cobra Snake and Jay Errico.
And I wrote, Jay Errico is back and own as many downers as ever. There's eventually Mikey frustrates Jericho so much that he shows unemotion, and I was like, oh no.
So now Cobra Snake is listed as Mark Hunter, the Cobra Snake. When has the ever been there before? Never.
We've truly seen the evolution of Best Tyron, though, from every appearance.
Yes.
And then we get a skit for no reason.
So the premise of the photos is breaking into and partying in a high school pool.
Okay.
That part didn't bother me.
And yet another thing secretly inspired by Gossip Girl.
Honestly, though. But yeah, then we have to do a skit where they actually pretend like they are breaking in.
And are they supposed to be high school students?
I was very confused about the age, because I found that inappropriate.
I found it super inappropriate.
Weird.
We couldn't have just called this a college pool.
I know. Well, I guess, like, if we want to be generous,
yeah,
this is their alma mater. Now they are, like, they just graduated, and they're like, well, we know the school, and we won't follow the rules, because we're old now.
Like a naughty summertime vibe.
They're townies back for a reunion, and they're like, we got to get
in here. The homecoming game was last night, and we got horny and needed to go to the pool.
To cool off.
Before they start shooting, watching Yusai tie himself in knots, trying to explain how there are no scores anymore, except that doesn't change anything, is wild.
Surely doesn't.
I do love that this is officially the last episode, little did we know, was the last time we will ever talk about any sort of scoring.
Yeah.
Who knew? I thought... But I don't know. I don't know what reference. I thought would happen, but yeah.
It's not even an actual score.
Also, I'm pointing it out now, and spoiler if you haven't, like, seen this episode, but remember how we had three audition episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We basically have three finale episodes, because the top four appear in this episode, the previous, and the next one.
Yes.
There are three episodes of this cycle with a top four. I would be... How tired are they? Truly.
So tired.
Well, Mikey and Niall are neck and neck, according to Mikey.
I love that this starts the narrative, because genuinely, Mikey and Niall do the same thing where both of them claim the other person only has one look.
One face.
They say the exact same sentence back to back one time, and it's hilarious.
Is there a model Mikey hasn't said that about, though?
I know!
Mommy.
Well, but truly, like, why does Mikey think that? Weirdly,
why is that
now
your only criticism?
Because he doesn't know what modeling is.
And I gotta say, you can tell as these pictures are happening that his are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can also tell because of the reactions from Jay Errico that I didn't know that this person could yell.
You mean my backup quote of, you would never hold a cup like that.
He's so pressed about him.
I am shocked that Jay Errico, who runs Grazia USA magazine and has such articles as Jennifer Lawrence's latest look is a masterclass in trans seasonal dressing, would ever get so ornery.
I had no idea where that sentence was going to end.
Good. Yeah. Did you guess trans seasonal dressing?
I did not guess that.
Not based on Hannah's visual reaction to that.
An M. Night Shyamalan-like twist.
Okay, hold up. One thing I forgot to say that was a great mommy moment is when they were explaining this early, they say, today we're breaking into a high school to take pictures in this pool. And I think Mikey goes, hell yeah. Like in Michelle of Yore. And mommy goes, what?
And I was like, I've never done that. I'm a diplomat's daughter.
But also, correct, mommy.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Uh-huh. So then we find that the shoot is just them stripping, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you know how when you're going to break into a pool, you take off your clothes super far away from that pool before you get in it?
Yeah, so that when you get caught, you have to run to the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about the whole, while Niall is doing his first set of shots, they are saying, don't focus on your interpreter. Because
terrible.
It gave me the ick.
Awful.
Okay.
Cobra Snake he should not have come back because he's both creepier than he's been before and shitty.
Well, it sort of reveals his weakness as a photographer because I think that's why the whole sketch happened, because he doesn't know how to take photos of things that aren't actually happening.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been taking photos of parties for so long that that's all that he knows how to take photos.
It's only about capturing moments. It's not actually like any kind of.
And that's why you hire him, too. Like, they shouldn't have hired him to do this.
Well, no, because it's horny teenager stripping, so gotta get Cobra Snake. Cobra Snake.
And then my other issue is, you know how you fix this in 2 seconds? You change where Ramon is standing.
Sure. But I bet Cobra Snake doesn't like the vibes or something.
Oh, yeah. That's what it came across to me, is that Cobra Snake was irritated that he had to deal with something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that he had to make any kind of slight accommodation whatsoever.
And then Niall's stuck in the middle. We've also not heard
this from anyone else.
Nope.
Well, to be fair, that's only been Eric Asla, but sure, I agree.
You know what I mean.
I know,
or Massimo a couple.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Tyra 2 list of examples.
And it just feels, I feel bad for Niall because he's like having to listen to 3 people talk about the interpreter while he's being told to not look at the interpreter, but he's like,
imagine your brain having to process all that at once.
Yes, or all you have to do is like take a break to give him the notes and then keep shooting. Like, this is not a problem.
No, this is not a problem at all.
You know who has totally figured out Cobra Snake though, and manipulates the absolute booger out of him?
This,
and that is Lacey.
Was
Lacey suddenly turns into a character from Drop Dead Gorgeous. That sneaky little sidle into Mame's frame holding the dog.
Oh, I'm shocked she didn't go like, oops, I spilled it on my titties or whatever.
I spilled the dog. The dog's
it's
all
soy sauce all over my boobs.
But literally, Mame is taking a photo against a brick wall, and Lacey picks up a big cutie dog and just like
soy.
Sashays in.
Why did she move?
Was it was you sized dog?
No, it was the dog. The dog's name was Zoe.
No. I think that's a a captions crunch.
Really?
Yes, I think it was captions crunch Zoe from Soy.
Oh,
I just thought it was a different dog.
No, you sidebring Soy does that.
True.
But I kind of loved it.
I did, but it was such weird. There was like no casualness to it. She just like literally picked it up, looked right at Cobra Snake, and was like,
like shuffled off to Buffalo into the frame.
I'm shocked she didn't stand in front of Mame.
It was very lip sync for your life.
It's just funny because of this top four, we've talked about Niall, Mikey, and Mame all being game players, but we haven't had as many discussions about Lacey, and Lacey finally decided to do such a bold game move so late in the game. This is how that small town girl is going to survive the real world.
Oh, and also, it merits a mention. We get little moments in this episode where it is so clear how much Mikey and Lacey hate each other.
She must have just rejected him so swiftly,
so hard,
so early,
and definitively.
When we're doing the chicken game in the pool, and Mikey is told to kiss Mame's thighs because you've got cute legs on your shoulders, I just had a flashback to the zoom-in photo.
Every time.
And it's a shame because I kind of like the general framing of these photos.
Yeah.
And it's some of Niall's best photos.
Yes.
Because he gets to be goofy.
But why? Why did Niall and Lacey have to be in the pool and also in the same position? I thought they were in the photo until Mikey and Mame just got to leave the pool.
They were just apparently on deck.
Also, they put Niall in some kind of shirt that has a logo on it that they had to completely blur, which makes it seem so weirdly dirty.
But also, like, it's for this show.
And
you
he's
put
in the
him
pool.
In that.
Why is he wearing a shirt in the pool in the first place?
Also, why is stuff related to Niall always the stuff we blur out? It's always Niall adjacent things.
Yes.
I love because it's so stupid. Lacey's necklace just says Trill. That was such a time. This put us a smack dab in 2016 or whenever this was.
Mame trying to outdo Lacey decides that she's on first name basis with Cobra Snake and just calls him Cobra. It's so good.
This man, who I don't like, but he has tried so hard to get away from Cobra Snake.
He has.
And she's
Mark
like,
Hunter.
And Cobra is loving it.
Oh, my man, I guess we haven't seen the previous seasons.
No, you know who's the only person who has watched this show? And that is Mikey, because Mikey produces the rest of the episode. He predicts every single non-twist that happens. Because he clocks immediately. He's like, well, the show always brings back all the other models for the final runway show. And I was like, Mikey!
He calls them the Alims.
The Alims.
A rare time I'd be like, I might say that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look at my fucking legs. That's it. Someone said it
at
the house.
Lex, I literally thought you were talking to us. And I was like, they're not in camera, babe.
That is something I would say. Yeah, just.
And then that foot just goes up.
I don't know who said it.
It's like a sketch bit where you put up one and then a second, then a third. Somehow we're like, what?
Mikey is not afraid of seeing Justin because he says, since he's single, he can do whatever I want. And I said, babe, that's not how cheating works.
That's also how rape works.
And then we finally get the reason, or at least a reason, that Mikey is who he currently is. Mm-hmm. At the latest stage of the game, we get the breakup trauma. And he says this all out loud as if he doesn't realize what it's done to who he currently is.
Oh, he definitely doesn't realize.
No. Because
he says he was in a 6-year committed relationship that ended when he was 23. So about 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, and he's like, now I'm single, not doing that anymore. And I'm like, oh, that's it.
You're broken.
And I'm not excusing the behavior. I'm saying,
no. It's nice to find
you
the
haven't
root.
Examined this.
Mm-hmm.
We head to the Four Aces Motel for the Zappos Couture photo shoot.
Why is the show invested in us thinking that this is a real working motel when it is not?
I do not know, because this is fully a movie set that is used in so many movies.
When you go on their website, they're like, if you need a motel, this isn't it.
It also looks so much like the one from Psycho 19 when they did that they had to travel and got sweaty and dirty and... I don't think it's the same one.
Oh, are
but
you talking about the Bates Motel one? No.
No.
No,
so
the one where they were doing random
drunk.
Acts of modeling.
Oh.
Alyssa was on the ground with Sprite
or
whatever.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was.
But it's got that exact
clean.
Same vibe.
Yeah,
though.
No, I mean, this is just modeled after every desert hotel on the way to Vegas.
But I literally thought they came back. I was like, does Tara own this?
The website for the location is also hilarious because there are 1 million photos.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a tab that says video, and you click on the video and it's a 5-minute long video of just the photos.
Perfect.
With a little Western music in the background. Good.
And I just then wrote the note, oh fuck, Melissa's back.
But like positive.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting a return of Melissa.
Larfed aloud.
Your note just reads, oh fuck, Melissa's back, parentheses, affirmative. They're not derogatory.
And don't worry, she comes bringing the evil looks. She's wearing faux leather, fur-lined aviatrix coat, and that fur, we learn, is not attached to the coat, maybe?
No. Melissa's coming with options.
She also re-upped her Glamourly subscription before coming back, because this is business psychic talk. For one of you, the photos will grace our website, and they will be part of our global relaunch.
Global relaunch.
There
re-launch.
Was never a launch. I really need you guys to rack it. The looks. Killer.
When you're starting your journey, you're innocent. Then as you evolve on this journey, the fierceness and this confidence really coming out. That juxtaposed positioning is really what we want to energize today.
And who cares? We meet Kevin Bailey, who doesn't exist, apparently.
And we get into hair and makeup. I like the idea of this, and even though they don't really say it yet, that the two girls are going to wear the exact same clothing.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
And the two guys are going to wear the exact same clothing. I like it when they do this on Top Model.
Every time. I love it.
Except for one specific example, they're supposed to basically do the same setups.
Right. Mm-hmm. Same angles, same background.
I know that Kevin is a non-entity, but he also says something crazy about Zappos and kind of sounds like Melissa. We're on a journey with Zappos Couture. We're becoming a little more chic, more modern, and more cutting edge. You're not becoming anything more. You don't exist.
I gotta say, Lex, we had different reads of that, and it's because of one particular word that was omitted from your version.
Okay.
Because he starts the whole thing with, so, we're on a journey with Zappos Couture, and I was like, oh, this dude is spent.
But he's an editorial strategist. Strategians he has.
I feel like this person does not have this job, might work for Zappos, and they had him come on, and he was like, y'all, this isn't real, right? Okay. So we're on a journey with Zappos Couture.
And then Melissa says something to Mame. We hope it delivers happiness to you and your closet. And your probably ever-evolving wardrobe.
Your probably ever-evolving wardrobe.
Every single talking head with Mame and Lacey at this point is just them sniping at each other. Uh-huh. Like, Lacey calling Mame mature. Or Mame pretending like Lacey is very jealous of this Zappos gift card.
That she will never use.
No,
because they specify
it's
Zappos Couture.
Yeah, this is not for Zappos proper.
It's so funny. It's as if they weren't fighting enough. And Melissa's like, I know what to do.
She just I'm just going to toss this in the middle of the room and let the sharks fight for the chum that it is.
I wish I was on the Shark Tank part of the show.
I would have lived and breathed.
Mikey at some point got a refresh of the hair, right? Because this boy walks out looking like Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, it's because they just they cleaned it and straightened it.
And they finally did it enough that he can't revert it back to Mikey-ness because he normally just messes with the styling immediately.
And that flat iron did him no favors.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This does not look good on him. And that is not his fault. It's rare thing that's not his fault, but I was like, oh no.
He calls himself the expensive, happy guy that Zappos represents. You're expensive?
That's the new thing for Mikey this episode, yes.
Okay, so the cutest thing happens. Raymond, during Niall's shots, is like grooving in the background. Just like celebrating Niall. It's so nice.
Lacey comes to set, and they ask her what her story for the photo shoot is. And her response is, from all the vibes that this motel is giving off, I transform into a fierce, confident, sexy girl.
Now this is Sleep No More. She's coming, she's being possessed by ghosts or whatever.
Those motel vibes really bring it out in me.
Why ask Lacey what the concept is? She was just told the concept by Melissa.
This and more. In the debut novel, Small Town Girl, Surviving the Real World.
Oh, it's a horror story.
Small Town Girl finds her first hotel.
Yeah, no. It's surviving the outside world. It's a The Village sort of situation.
Look, I love that you changed real world to outside world. Yeah. Like Lacey grew up in a dome.
Yeah, in The Village.
This motel wanted Lacey's virginity. And she said, no.
No.
Vibes only.
You can penetrate me with your vibes. And that's it.
It.
And That's why I'm going to model slightly pissed the entire time. She takes to this styling better than anybody, though.
Because her hair is also perfect with this styling.
And the red lip they give her. Like, she was made for this style. It's kind of reminiscent of the preppy vibes we like that she very occasionally wears.
It is nice to see that I think Niall has genuinely improved as a model.
I think so.
I agree.
I have butterflies in my stomach, which means that it's great.
Why did she need to explain an idiom to Niall?
Niall's confused as to why Raymond is still signing. Like, I know. What do you mean?
And then Mikey has apparently gotten way worse at modeling recently. And, like, forgive me, can't get it up for modeling until they put a sexy older woman in front of him to flirt with.
The fact that they have to use Melissa as a flirt prop is creepy.
Melissa is a fluffer, and she loves it.
Also, on the back of this, Niall, your interpreter isn't working for us. Melissa, come over here and stand directly in front of Mikey.
And then one subplot that I feel like the show doesn't talk about enough is how Mame is always slightly cheating. And I love that she goes up to Mikey and she's like, I saw some of your photos, don't tell.
Mame is somehow always eavesdropping. Uh-huh. Yes! Always peeking.
I think she's putting pins in clothes when she's going through the wardrobe.
Tiny little cameras.
She is totally someone who would glitter bomb somebody and be like, I guess you were taking my packages. You guys did the perfect home at the same time. You harmonized.
I will confess, did I allegedly, maybe, when I was working on costuming for a college show, put pins in someone's costume? It was a real asshole to me.
Legs.
Who can say? No one caught. No one found out that
it's
happened.
All alleged.
I guess we'll never know.
No.
That person listening to our podcast will be like, I knew it. I've waited 22 ouchies, cycles.
Those ouchies were on purpose.
Why does Mikey get his own setup in the lobby? This is so strange.
They don't even
he
use
can
it.
Sit.
Maybe he just wasn't getting it once again and they needed to do something special for him.
It's just so odd because when you ultimately see the photos and you see Lacey v. Mame, it's practically the exact same everything.
Yes.
And then Niall's and Mikey's are just mostly the same.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Niall and Lacey are getting closer because Lacey, about Niall, says, girls want him, guys want him, mamas want him, dads want him.
Did y'all flash back to Gianna's Men, Women, and Children? Yes.
I was waiting. I was like, Lacey, don't.
She learned, but kind of not, because the phrase theoretically would be like, mamas want him and dads want to be him. And she's like, no, not with Niall. No. Everyone wants to fuck Niall.
Lacey accidentally outing Niall as sexually fluid.
I was about to say, we know the current Niall, and it doesn't come up at all in the cycle from Niall, and Lacey being like, oh, was this a secret?
Oops, do I win?
How homophobic are we still, top model? And I would actually love if that was Lacey's plan all along. How can I out all three of them enough to win?
And we get a great exit line from Melissa Costa. Unless she comes back in the next couple cycles, which I can't imagine will happen, but with this show, you never know. Whoever wins is going to be the most meaningful transition of our brand, and it could be any of them.
Meaningful translation.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just, it could be anything. Yeah. She says any words.
Yes. Sorry, I thought it was trans-seasonal.
Who was
also
ready?
Wait. Usai's We're Done and Cartwheels feels like Usai escaping the show.
Who is more excited to no longer be on this show? Niall or Usai?
I think Usai, we've seen a lot of cracks of I no longer want to be on America's Next Top Model in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And it's made all those times, he's looked much better.
I have a very generous conspiracy theory. I think Yusai was ordered by somebody in production to be as mean as he was, and it's honestly not wearing on him, and he does not want to do this anymore. And
I agree with you. I think he was at least partially playing a character.
I think that when he photographs, he gets to drop it, and he remembers who he is as a person. I'm not saying he's lovely. I'm not saying he's Johnny Wujak. I just don't think he's as bad as...
last season, for sure.
Well, but also, I don't think he's as bad as the show wants him to be. Now, that's not excusing stuff with Winnie and blah, blah, blah.
But part of me does wonder if the producers were like, we got to take the heat off of Kelly. Yusai, can you amp it up?
Interesting. And he was like, and at first he was like, yeah, I'll do a job. I'll play a character. And then he saw himself and was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just seemed literally like, we're done, guys.
It
we're
feels
done.
Like I never have to deal with this show ever again.
Huzzah!
Yeah. He just sets the hotel on fire and watches it from a distance. You're free, you sigh.
The vibes
back to the
are
woods.
Free.
Back to the woods.
It's an urban legend when that motel caught on fire.
As long as one city person tells this story.
Back to field work for us.
I was not ready for the return of Crafts.
Here's my conspiracy theory.
Dude, we have such a plethora.
So many conspiracies for the end of Cycle 22.
We're at a convention center.
I think the Tyra thought that the Tyra beauty stuff would require a lot more craft supplies. So she bought in bulk.
All the parties are also going to be craft affairs.
Did not use the majority of these supplies and then was like, fuck, I need to find a way to write these off as a business expense.
What?
And she said, Marie-Hélène or whatever her fucking name was. Help me. Oh, Tyra, just sell it. Just use it and you'll be fine.
--, what do I do?
I bought so many pipettes. I thought we would need so many more.
I remember her name is Marie Pierre, so hilarious. balloon pumps. Balloon pumps were on that table as though they're going to make balloon animals.
But here's the thing. Even the most innocuous of these crafts is hilarious because they won't be using any of them in the moment.
They can take photos of the crafts they built.
Yep.
I was about to
with
say
their Oppo.
It is. But that exclusively is just posters.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, though, that Lacey is a bullet journaler. The way this woman journals, it is precise and it is organized. And also I'm confused about timeline stuff with Lacey. Does she currently
have a blog
in a fitness class?
No, fitness class, no.
But it was hard to tell what was aspirational.
Her verbs are in present tense.
She blogged on MySpace.
Sure.
Yeah. Like The Best of Us. Did that get me a part once? It sure did.
Oh, good for you.
Maybe she really wanted to be a writer. Like, I feel like a lot of writing stuff is centered around her.
She's lost.
But honestly, I think most of it, because we get a little reveal of her saying, I'm young, I don't know what I want the rest of my life to be. So I think she's just grasping at stuff that will relate to her story. Because she doesn't know yet.
I think she literally says, I'm 18, how am I supposed to have a life plan?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, you're right, Lacey.
The fitness classes are a lie, because she needs something.
She has to connect it, too.
Yes.
I was also not ready for Tyra mail, where Tyra is kissing Tyra in a mirror and looking where? Where was Tyra looking?
Oh, I guess we finally did get the twins back, though.
Oh, thank God. Conduct yourselves carefully, ... This is your final chance to work your way to the top. And it's like all like spaced weird.
The chaos of every word being capitalized except for top.
Oh.
Right? Okay. Right? Because that is in America's Next Top Model. So if anything was going to be capitalized,
yeah,
top.
My favorite part of this reading of the Tyra mail is that it finishes. And then Mame says to herself, but in front of three other people, I'm really proud of myself.
Diabolical.
Work for it, Mame. Work for it.
Like no one else is in the room.
Brag like no one's watching.
That's my favorite song. I want it played at my wedding.
That's my secret. I brag like no one's watching.
What's that wedding song that everyone misinterprets? Oh, I hope you brag. Y'all, look up the lyrics to I Hope You Dance. I don't know if you should be using it at your weddings.
Do you compliment yourself in a room full of people?
But they can't hear you because they are deaf. I hope you break. I hope you
break.
Then we head to Walt Disney Concert Hall. Where we meet
was it?
The Alim contestants.
It barely says
this
that
amazing
anywhere.
Building.
Have you heard about the things about this? Yeah. Okay. For the listeners that don't.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's all
listeners, buckle up.
Every bit of any information you find about the Disney Hall is chef's kiss.
Get ready for an epic failure of urban planning.
So
this is an urban legend.
A fun thing. We'll start with a fun thing. It was used in the second season of Picard as the stand-in for the Confederacy of Earth's presidential palace.
And it's got a spacey kind of look.
It is great casting. It is. Yeah. So Frank Gehry was the architect for Concert Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think that he was the right fit. And the Walt Disney Company agreed because they said... Or Gehry says he was told that under no circumstances would Walt Disney's name be on any building that I design. And then somehow using, and I'm going to share my screen. No, I'll just copy a picture and send it to Hannon.
Send it to Chad. Use the image. Send the image.
All right. So Frank Gehry's original sketch for the Disney Concert Hall, because it's been compared... The design has been compared to, he took a paper, crumpled it up, and threw it on the floor, and that's how he got the look for it.
The gay line art is this?
That looks like an etch-a-sketch drawing of an amusement park.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That he originally wanted to build it in stone because it would glow at night. And he's like, that will look
cool.
So great.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. Remember that thing you did in Bilbao? Do that. So they have to do it in metal. And the best thing, this is literally my favorite thing about this building. It's sailed. It's like bent. And the material that they used reflected light so badly, it was like a laser beam into people's apartments.
Yep.
And heated up the sidewalk to 140 degrees. That they had to sandblast it so as to not blind people or burn their face off. The air conditioning in the apartments across the way, their rates skyrocketed because of how hot it was making their apartments.
It's so funny.
Now, it is, I will say, go look at pictures if you've never been inside. It is a gorgeous space.
Oh, it's lovely looking.
Well, and it is known for its great acoustics.
Yeah, and it looks
which
like
which in a concert hall is the most important thing.
It kind of looks like no other concert hall. The way it's set up, it's like in the round. The organ is wild looking. It is beautiful, but it is the fact that he was like, I don't want to do this. And they're like, too bad. And they're like... Oh, it's now a space laser, basically. It's like a supervillain designed the concert hall at first.
Right? They're just random little piles of like dead bugs on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that kind of is the size of a cat. Why is that this pile of ashes here?
So funny.
The fact that no one considers Ashley and only Justin is especially gross in this situation.
So all the eliminated models are coming back, and Mom answers.
Are they,
something.
Or is only Justin coming back?
Well, Justin, I
no,
can't
Hadassah
believe.
No, Hadassah is also definitely
Hadassah
here.
Hadassah is there.
And Devin is avoiding the camera. But Mom A says, I see Justin, and he's not happy. And they cut to Justin looking so normal, like
neutral.
He always
okay.
does.
We need to say. Justin doesn't want to deal with this drama.
No.
He wants
at least
to
not on camera. At least not on camera.
And Mame,
I think he would be happy to like cordially part ways with Mame at this point.
But Mame can't fucking help herself.
Oh my god.
just going over and being like, do you want to talk? And he's like,
No.
But she asks in front of other people, like Delaney's fully having a conversation with Justin that Mame interrupts.
And so much respect to Justin, because Mame tries to open the conversation with, so what did Devin tell you? And his response is, why don't you just tell me what happened?
A perfect mature response.
Mm-hmm. I'm not bringing somebody else into this. I'm not making somebody else the villain who's not involved in what actually happened.
That. But also, how about you just tell me the truth?
Yeah.
And then we can talk. Rather than what... So now you can mount a defense against what Devin told you? Well, Devin lies. He's a liar who lies.
And then... Ashley is actually in the episode because she was Hannah's episode title.
She sure was.
Because when talking of Mikey, and Mikey's character gets just put through it for the rest of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, I was hurt, but I can't say that I really expected more from him. Shrug. Imagine, truly, if someone said that about you, how bad that would make you feel as a person, deserved or not. Like, that is one of, if someone said that about me, I'd be like, I need to examine myself.
I honestly think this is why they were a successful couple, though, because she knew exactly who he was and didn't expect more.
That's true. And, but he hears that, though, and goes, that's always the case. All the women hate me. Investigate. Reflect. Do anything.
I loved that when Devin is confronted about, like, why he said something, he goes, my back was against the wall.
Justin held me up against the wall and I had a time.
I just had a time.
He held me and then he gave me a little kiss and I said, I will never tell. And he said, I love you, Devin. And I woke up from my dream. And then I went to Justin and I told him.
In my head, it's so simple. Like, Devin was like, Justin came up and was like, hey, Devin. He's like, okay, I'll tell you.
Fine, I'll spill.
That's for sure what happened. Then Miss J comes and seems to not want to make this introduction.
Yeah.
Of Keith Carlos, whose teeth look different to me.
Oh, interesting. I didn't notice.
I just thought that... the hat was weirdly a size too big for the head that it was on.
Does he have a tiny, tiny head?
Does he?
It was huge. And obviously, I come from a position of having too big of a head for baseball hats. But his head seemed too small.
I love the muted woo for Keith, though, for all the contestants. Everyone's like, woo!
Zero enthusiasm to see Keith. Well, what's Keith going to teach you?
I don't know. I will say in these two episodes, Keith is fine.
He's fine.
He's going to teach you the Keith dance because he's still doing the Keith dance.
Okay, so Mikey, as our only person who's watched America's Next Top Model, knows that now's the time production asks people what team they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mikey asked Kadasa if anyone said Team Mikey, and I cringed with my entire body because you watch Mikey learn in real time that no one's championing him. Because Adasa laughs. She's like, no.
She's like, Mame.
Justin feels free to just call Mikey a piece of shit fully in Mikey's hearing.
Justin is just mad that it was Mikey that Mame was with. He goes, Niall, Devin, anyone.
Well, he's like, how could you not fuck Niall? Niall's amazing. What's wrong with you?
You can take it like that. I thought it was taken as you could have, if you were trying to get warm, you could have gotten warm with Niall or Devin.
Either way works.
Yeah. But he's like, just Mikey sucks.
Yeah.
I feel like they also like talked about how Mikey sucks. Like that seemed like, Justin was coming from a place where, like, I expected better of you because you've spoken about this.
It's such a big plot point that they actually have to have Justin have traditional talking head confessionals about it, which has never happened with any eliminated contestant ever. You get the in-the-moment shots of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to gently suggest to Niall, and maybe he's already taken this on board, that he not refer to people as homeboy.
Yeah.
He also says he's all for the bro code. I'm like, Niall, not now. Not when you're about to win. Stop.
Stop. I say shenanigans for this Keith hug because there are two different times Lacey is in the group that gets hugged, and then she's over by the mirror outside the group that gets hugged.
And Stefano could not be more outside this group hug because he's like, I don't want to eat this gay shit.
Were you shocked to see him rooting for a woman, though?
Well, because she's the only woman that, like, didn't tell him off or something.
No, I bet the opposite. I bet she immediately told him off and he's like, wow.
And this is when I discovered at 40 minutes until showtime that Niall was wearing a huge fake ponytail.
They all are.
I know.
But only saw it on stands Niall out first. On Niall.
I say it also it stands like, out on Justin.
It's like a mane.
Oh, I'm in of our top four. Sure. It's so weird.
It is a Barbie clip-in mane of a thing.
This is a Jessica Simpson classic.
I also learned that Niall has a large back tattoo that I don't think we've ever been privy to.
No.
What was it?
It's not centered
either. It's like a
right love side handle of tattoo. Your back.
Yeah.
Little floating island there.
These see-through pants on Tyra Banks. Did she know they were going to be this see-through?
I don't think she did.
Because
I think
the panties
this is a lighting thing.
Were a problem.
This space laser hotel they're in.
I can't believe. Because of course they did it. But that these four finalists have to give these presentations and get cut in front of their moms on camera.
Cruel.
Why do them
Rude.
Here? Why do them here? This is so strange.
In my head, I'd kind of forgotten about the presentations, and then I didn't know until the next episode the format, because I was like, are they videos? I don't understand. And then when their moms come back, I'm like, oh, cool, the moms are going to be in the audience, and they're going to be ceremoniously dismissed. No.
Nope.
They're part of it.
Row seats.
And it's even worse, as we'll find out in the next episode, because the moms were kind of part of their modeling portfolio. Mm-hmm. So at least one mother blames herself, which makes me weep for her. Like, it's so terrible.
And why would you do this when they're all fully in hair and makeup?
I don't. It
and
make
bound
sense.
To get emotional and require a redo of hair and makeup.
Why not do this when they arrive? Why not? There were so many times to do this.
And I actually think, because we got her patented smiling cringe face, I think Tyra didn't think this through until it was starting to happen. And the moms came in and there were all these emotions because Tyra goes, and I'm like, oh, yeah? You didn't think this would be awful in the moment, Tyra?
Kelly Catrone also seems super uncomfortable with the setup.
Kelly's never been nicer in the next episode because she was like, I don't know
about
this.
Because they cut out the bad things, apparently.
I think Kelly was like, I don't know. I think I found the line.
Mom, happened. I can't believe you said those terrible things straight to those mom's faces.
And this is our episode-by-episode disclaimer that that is not Lex's impression of Kelly Catrone's daughter. That is Kelly Catrone's impression of Kelly Catrone's daughter.
Accurately rendered by Lex.
Thank you. I feel like we need to have, I mean, not anymore, but we should have just had a stock, like,
this is not Lex's interpretation of Kelly Catrone's daughter. Kelly Catrone in episode this said that her daughter sounded like this, and now we can't not say it.
It should have been something we played at the start of episodes, like when an episode
like a trigger warning, content warning.
It's like the episode you're watching tonight features serious subject matters. You may want to listen to Pod Lead In with your parents, which we know some of you do.
Yeah. And then the episode unceremoniously ends.
Top four. Bye.
In the ultimate crescendo of the cycle.
This must have been a double episode night. I refuse to believe it.
It wasn't.
It was.
Because not only is it not a double episode night,
what?
There were two weeks in between the airing of these episodes.
Because Thanksgiving fell between them.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So you had to wait for 2 weeks to see these PowerPoints.
This 16-episode cycle lasted at least two additional buffer weeks.
Yup.
I'm going to vomit.
And if you're going to vomit,
yay!
You should rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. We love hearing from you, your hot takes, your iced tea. You can also reach out to us at podleadem@gmail.com or send us something to our P.O. box. You can find that at podleadem.com. And you can find me lurking, creeping, slotting everywhere.
Slotting, Lord.
At Yet Charming.
Yeah, because they're a slot for pods.
Aww.
And maybe all of you are, too, if you filled out the poll on the Discord. Only two of you weren't.
It's also makes on the sense. Episode. Makes sense.
You can also find me on that Discord, but more importantly on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm on Instagram at JW_Crump.
And be sure to use the hashtag podleadum and 2 extra weeks.
Whoa, whoa.
But there won't be 2 extra weeks between these episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's just true. Yeah. That's just accurate information you're employing.
We've never taken Thanksgiving off.
No. So for Podleadum, I have been Lex Basile Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
Podleadum is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.